Hello again, everyone. This is Steve Green, and I'd like to ask you a question and want you to really consider what I'm going to ask you very carefully. How badly do you want to stop abortion? How do you feel about it in your heart? Would you carry a sign in front of a clinic? Would you try to entice your senator to vote in a particular way if we could? What would you do if you could end abortion? How would you step up? I'm speaking with you today to ask you to consider a ministry called Preborn Clinics. They've got a very unique approach that's been proven extremely effective for dealing with young women in crisis. And what they do is pretty simple. They bring them into a clinic and they do an ultrasound and they introduce the new mom to be to her baby. She gets to see the life that she's carrying with her, and they provide hope, love, and even the gospel in action. So I'm asking you to join Preborn in helping more moms choose life. So here's the deal. For $140, you can sponsor 5 ultrasounds. So in other words, 5 babies live. The deal right now that's working is they're going to double your gift. So in other words, 10 babies. I think that's a pretty good deal. You can donate securely at preborn.com. That's preborn.com. Would you think about that abortion? Would you do something about it? I sure appreciate you even praying about it and thinking about it. Preborn.com. God bless you all. Well, hello again, everyone. This is Steve Green on the Charisma Podcast Network. I'm really pumped up about the guest I have, long-term Bible influencer of men all over the world. My friend, Dr. Dick Eastman, my new friend, I've known him for, minutes. And at the same time, I want to tell you that I've read him for most of my life. And I just got nothing but good things to say about him. And you'll hear a lot of that today as we work through this great book he's written. I'll tell you about that in a minute. Dr. Eastman is the international president of Every Home for Christ. You've heard of that ministry. It's a ministry that has planted over 4.7 billion, that's with a B, billion gospel messages in home-to-home worldwide since 1946, resulting in 243 million follow-up decision cards and responses. Now, none of us may want to hear numbers and be all that impressed by them, but just the impact of this man's ministry is so obvious. But more than that, the impact of a book that he writes and shares with you will see the essence of who the man is. And that's what I want to talk to him about today. And that's about the topic of prayer. Because, you know, they used to say about a PhD degree, which I have, and the older you get and the more training you get, the more you realize how little you know and how much more you want to know in that field that you're terminally degreed in. A terminal degree means nothing except you've met some standards. What matters is, have you been taught to be a scholar? Have you been taught to press into the Lord? Have you been taught to pray? And then do you pray and continue to grow? So that's what we're going to talk about. Talking with God is the name of Dick Eastman's new book, A Practical Plan. Listen to that. A Practical Plan for Personal Prayer. We all need it. We've got it. We're going to talk to you about how to get it. But I just want to get to know Dr. Eastman today in a way that would help you understand the man that wrote this and where we go from here. So Dr. Dick Eastman, welcome to the Green Lines Podcast.
What a delight. This is just wonderful to be able to share. And I thank you for inviting me.
Well, I'm so glad you had time for us, and we're going to honor and respect your time, but at the same time, I want to learn from you. We're going to sit at the feet of a man who's written a book called Talking with God. And if you would just give us an opening shot here, just a headline of what your life of prayer has meant to you, then I'll start asking you some nosy questions. Here we go.
Well, let me just say that it was probably, more than 4 decades ago, where the way I would describe it is that I resolved a very big issue in my life, and that was that I would never allow a day to go by for the rest of my life that I did not spend a minimum of an hour, at least an hour, in the presence of Jesus. And, you know, when I look back at that, the first week or so, I thought, I don't know how I'm going to be able to do this the rest of my life. And of course, way back then, I didn't know how long I would live. But I'm telling you that God allowed that to continue up to this day. And I would never, ever say it in a boastful sense.
Sure.
But I would say it in a grateful sense that God has just drawn me into that habit. And I wouldn't change it for the world. I mean, it's just, it's the most wonderful hour of the day.
And is that your first hour of the day? Is it an early morning habit?
Well, you know what? It started that way. And in fact, I can tell you that I always encourage people to find the time that works best for you. Now, for me, it's later in the afternoon and the early evening. But the funny thing is, but when you talk about, is it the first thing in the day, the Lord has this unique way of waking me up, usually about 3 or 3:30 a.m.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
And often that happened to me actually this very day. It was 4 a.m. And you know, by the next time I looked at the clock, and I'd just been talking to the Lord, and I mean over and over, just like fellowshipping with him. But I was laying there, and when I looked at the clock, it was 7 a.m.
My
so,
goodness.
And by the way, that happens so often, I almost lose track of the time. But I've learned not to let insomnia kind of take over your life. Instead, I just start thanking him for everything that I can think of. That's how it begins, that I know I haven't thanked him for recently. And I mean, if it, whatever it might have been, something someone did for us or something that happened, or, you know, I went to the doctor and all my blood work was just excellent, you know, or something. And I thought, you know, Lord, I didn't even thank you for that. And so that's just another little added part of
that's good.
What happens in my prayer life.
So your prayer life is very practical, and I want to hear about that as we talk about your book. But I also want to share something with you I found in Dr. Mark Batterson's book, and I can't remember which one. You'll probably remember it. But he has a quote from you in it, and maybe I'm telling you something you don't know. But he was writing a chapter on prayer, and he says that Dick Eastman is known to sing in a grove of trees. And you've got to explain that quote to me. And I know about it because I asked Mark, but you're known for singing in a grove of trees as part of your prayer life. Share that with me.
Well, this is quite a story, and I know what he's talking about. And because I remember when I shared it with him that back in the mid-80s, I had a tremendous desire to spend one whole day mm-hmm. in my life where I did nothing but praise the Lord out loud.
Wow.
From the time I got up in the morning to the time I went to bed at night. And then here I had this week that I was coming to Washington, D.C. for our National Day of Prayer on a Thursday. And I've been a part of the National Prayer Committee that started the National Day of Prayer, you know, since its inception. And so I was looking at my schedule. And even before that, I was working on writing a book titled A Celebration of Praise.
Mm-hmm.
And I started writing all the scriptures I could come up with, you know, on praise. And then all of a sudden, I looked at my schedule as I was getting ready to leave to go back to Washington, D.C. And on that Wednesday of that week, I had absolutely nothing on my schedule, not a thing. And I thought, oh, wow. I had all these cards that I, like 3x5 cards with all these scriptures and all kinds of passages on that were exalting God and his nature and his character. And so I said, okay, that's the day. And the church I was at, a great Anglican charismatic church called the Church of the Apostles, I was going to speak on a Sunday there in advance of doing a Change the World School of Prayer, our seminar, the following Saturday. But Thursday was the National Day of Prayer, and we were going to be involved in that. But Wednesday was free, and they put me up in a beautiful country club there near Washington, D.C. And So there comes that Wednesday morning. I get up really early, and now this is the funny part to me anyway. Well, I decided I wanted to, pray the Lord out loud. And so I was brushing my teeth, praising the Lord, and I had taken a shower, praising the Lord. And then I went out and sat by the swimming pool, and I continually praising the Lord out loud. And then I thought, people are going to come by here. Mm-hmm. And I had a rental car, so I got into the car, got onto the George Washington, the Beltway.
Yes.
And I thought, I've got to find a place for prayer. Alone. And by the way, I stopped. This is another humorous part. I stopped to get a cup of coffee at this 7-Eleven I saw. And I was praising the Lord out loud while I was paying for the coffee. And I thought, this guy probably thinks I'm just crazy. And he just kind of looked at me. I got back in the car, and then I saw a road going up into look like a park, and I ended up in a grove of trees in a clearing. And here's the part that's so interesting. I praised the Lord out loud the whole day. I went over that all of my cards, 3 or 4 times. And about 4:30 in the afternoon, and this is in the first week of May, and it was like I did everything I knew to do, and I'm standing in the middle of this grove of trees, and I looked up and I said, Lord, my voice was hoarse, and I said, I just knew I needed to do this, and I said, I've done everything I know to do to praise you all day. And he said, no, there's one thing you've never done in my presence.
Hmm.
And I said to him, well, what is that? And he said, it's what David did. And suddenly
yes.
It came over me, and I had actually taught about how David danced before the Lord wildly, and I knew the Hebrew words for the, these passages of scripture on, and yet I actually kind of criticized people that, in my heart, I said, oh, they're wackos, they're crazy, and all of a sudden, I said, okay, Lord, now I'm getting emotional on this.
Come on.
Yes.
You're all right.
I suddenly started just jumping up and down and kicking my legs. And I did it for about 5 minutes.
Good for you.
And then I stopped. I said, Lord, is this right? And I heard his voice clearly. And he said, you'll never know how much joy you're giving me right now.
Yes.
And I just started sobbing. And I praised the Lord out loud all the rest of the day. I mean, I drove back to the hotel. I don't recall eating at all. And I just went to my room and continued until I laid down. But I want to tell you something about that. I don't have time on this podcast, but more things in our ministry opened up after that.
Of course.
Than almost any other time in my life. And here, I remember that Mark Patterson said he was going to share that story.
Do you remember what book he had it in?
I think it was in the book Whisper.
I think it was too.
Hearing God.
Because it's about hearing God's voice. But it blessed me so much. I mean, I've known you and known of you, not I've never met, but I kept that quote on a 3x5 note card all these years since I read Whisper. And then when I finally got the opportunity to meet with you today, I said, I'm going to start the podcast with singing in a grove of trees. And I had no idea it was going to be a story that's this powerful. This whole podcast is better than I could have ever counted on just hearing you tell that story about the grove of trees.
Well,
what a blessing.
Well, thank you. Yeah.
So let's talk about your book so people can get where you are. And we want to teach some young people how to have a life of prayer the way you have. And you didn't come by this gift easily. You worked at it. You wanted it. So maybe we should start by you telling us a little bit about your ministry, Every Home for Christ.
Well, yes, it's very interesting to me. I'll have to go way back and just tell you that before that in Sacramento, California, we started a ministry. I was a youth pastor in a great, great church there. And it was during the Jesus movement. And God just well, actually gave me a vision of an army of young people praying, and it led to starting a prayer center for young people. And these young people, we encouraged them that when they graduated from high school, so these were the young people, that they would give a year of their lives for prayer and raise their own support and come and live there. And over the next several years, we had 100 young people that actually did that. We had two homes in Sacramento, just a few blocks from the state capital of California. And we called it the Prayer Corps because 10 years before that, President Kennedy, John Kennedy, had started what was called the Peace Corps. And I thought, well, the only way we're going to have peace is was more prayer. So, that was a Peace Corps was, you know, enlisting young people to give a volunteer time like a year to go out into the nations. And so I said, we need a Prayer Corps. And I mentioned that because the founder of what is now Every Home for Christ, Jack McAllister, heard about this through a pastor friend of his, where I had done a prayer retreat and a prayer conference as church, and the Holy Spirit had moved so powerfully. And so this friend said that our founder, he said, Jack, you've been praying for you've said you've been praying for 21 years for someone to direct your prayer mobilization that actually had a life of prayer. And he said, I think I found someone like that. And so he suddenly, you know, I get a call from him, and I go visit him. And he was on the radio every day of the week, and then also did 5-hour TV specials mobilizing funds for the nations. And this was before anybody did this, anything like this on TV. And so he then said, Dick, why don't you take what you've learned in prayer and take it to the nations? And as I prayed with my wife, Dee, we just suddenly realized that this is what God wants us to do. And so we joined the ministry, and little did I know that 12 years later, I would be asked by the board of directors to be the president, the international president. And so that was in 1988. And so now this year is our 33rd year of leading this ministry. And when I started, we back in 1988, the ministry was in about 50 nations. Now we have active works in about 165 nations. And this year we have plans to open about 15 or 17 new countries. And what our ministry actually consists of is we mobilize the church. Besides our staff, which is about 8,000 that we support on the field, we have now actually 189 offices, because some of the bigger countries, India would be an example, actually have multiple offices. And so we mobilize the church to take the gospel to every home and to follow up those who respond. And then in villages and areas where there are no churches at all, we gather together the new believers and we plant little baby churches. And actually, the year before COVID, last year, we were set back a little bit, but we averaged 350, just over 350,000 homes were reached every day. And people would say, well, that doesn't sound possible. How could that happen? We averaged over 100,000 monthly volunteers beside our full-time staff. This year, we're on a pace to probably reach 150,000 monthly volunteers, because now that COVID is passing. As far as the church planting, these baby churches, 2019, the year just before COVID, was our 10th straight year of planting more than 20,000 new fellowships. And so
that's huge.
Even during COVID, it was like 16 or 17,000. And we thought it was going to be nothing.
Yeah.
Because, you know, of the problems. But what happened was people still were able to have their friends gather and people come together, even in restricted areas. We just had our leader, national director from Zambia, visit us just about, about 10 days ago. And he said the greatest thing for his ministry it was like over 15 years there in Zambia, especially in a place called the Gwembe Valley. He said that it was just amazing that in that that area, he said the government required that no one left their houses. And he said that was the greatest thing for us you could imagine. He said because now when we would go to a home, the people were going to be there when other times, you know, they would just have to leave the literature. And he said, now we reached way more people who were stuck in their homes. And he was just delighted, you know, talking about that. And another thing that happened was in some areas, governments were even afraid. The government workers were afraid to go out into the villages. And we offered to go to every home and take masks, you know, and yes, even food for people that were basically almost starving. And so, you know, there's a couple passages of scripture where it says God turned the curse into a blessing. And that happened to us where we got the government permission to go to every home because we were going to take masks. So that's just how God does these things. But that's anyway, every home for Christ is to take the gospel to every home on earth.
Amazing. What a ministry. And you've done it well and with great abundance, brother. And I know God's blessed you. So I want to talk about this book because I really want people to get it. Talking with God is certainly almost a manual of your life. And as you didn't necessarily write a journal or keep a diary about it, you do help people learn to be practical in their prayer planning. So tell us how you do that. Give some good tips and advice to our listeners on how to develop a prayer plan.
Well, one of the things when I made this commitment that I described at the outset of I just wouldn't let a day go by without an hour.
Mm-hmm.
Rather humorously, I can say that the first few days of trying to keep an hour were really humorous because I thought I was a prayer warrior. I just didn't do it every day. I was an ordained minister for 7 years before I actually had a daily prayer time. And it was the result of what I'm describing now, that God just gripped my heart in Matthew 26, beginning around verses 37 and 38, when the disciples were with Jesus in the mm-hmm. garden. And Jesus was facing his greatest crisis, if you want to call it, of his life as a human on earth, but God in the flesh. And it was, he was facing the cross the very next day. And at a point of agony, so intense that Luke, in writing of it, said his sweat was like blood. And why? Why was that? Because he was taking upon him the sins of all of humanity for all of history before him and after him. And he was taking it to the cross. And he turned to his closest disciples, and they were sleeping. And he said, and apparently, I don't know if he woke up Peter or how it was, but he specifically said, what could you not watch with me for 1 hour? And that so gripped me that I said, Lord, if you'll just help me, I'm not going to let a day go by for the rest of my life without doing that. Well, then the next day was my first day. And so I had a clock in this room I went into to pray, and it was like 10 o'clock or in the morning or whatever, and I thought, okay, God, here goes. And I turned the clock around so it wouldn't intimidate me, and then I started praying, and I prayed for all kinds of things I thought of, and I prayed for them. Then I think I prayed for some things again, and then I thought, wow, an hour must have passed, and I turned the clock around, and 10 crummy minutes had passed.
Oh,
And I
my.
thought,
I've had
oh,
that
no.
experience. Yes.
Yeah. And it's like, and I wasn't on some kind of endurance or spiritual, that, you know, a boastful thing, that I really wanted to learn how to spend an hour in prayer. And over the weeks that followed, I began to realize what prayer really was. Prayer is not just asking for things. And I was reading in Ephesians. In Ephesians chapter 6 is the great warfare chapter, where Paul says, finally, my brothers and sisters. Now, he's concluding the whole letter to the Ephesian believers. And when he says finally, he's just like, I want to tell you the most important thing. Finally, be strong in the Lord. Now, this was a command. He was saying, I want you to get strong. And here's why. Because we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and rulers of darkness. And so you've got to put on the armor. Now, many believers now, or many listeners, would, you know this passage, putting on the armor of God. But what we miss sometimes is when it comes down to the end, toward verse 17 or so, where it says, take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the last aspect of the armor, which of course is God's word. And then it tells you where the battle really is. And it's in prayer. It says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Now, many of us know, might even, I memorized scripture years ago when I was young in the King James Version. So
yeah,
but
I know
in
that
reading
problem.
The,
yes.
Yeah, in reading the New International Version, it actually says that, in fact, I can just kind of quote this. It says, pray always with all manner of prayer and entreaty. And that's when I realized, you know, prayer is more than just asking for stuff. And I began to write down different aspects of prayer. And I had 12 of them. And then I realized, you know, if I just spend 5 minutes in each of these, I'll have an hour.
Yeah.
And when I started doing that, I didn't realize how this was going to help other believers. I didn't know there would be a book written. I didn't know. And then I didn't even know I was going to be developing a seminar called the Change World School of Prayer. And now more than 3 million people have been impacted by that in many, many nations. And the heart of that multi-hour training was to resolve this issue that I can spend time in the presence of the Lord and even set a goal of an hour. And I would say to people, look, I know some of you are saying I can never do that, but I want to just recommend for just a week or two, you try going through these steps and watch what happens.
Mm-hmm.
And, oh goodness, I had a leader. This was about 10 years after we were teaching in schools of prayer, and of one of the most known ministries in the entire world. And he came up to me at a conference. I was really surprised he was even there. And he said to me, I want to tell you something. I didn't have a prayer life, and I was leading this very ministry. And he said, now I have a sacred hour every single day. And he said, that helped me get started. And that's what our goal has been. You know, we want to, I don't want anybody to become legalistic in this, but once you start to see these elements of prayer or aspects of prayer, and you actually experience them, pretty soon it grows into a time where you actually don't want to miss it.
You look forward to it.
And it's not because you're going to feel something every day. Most of the time I go into my, I have a real literal closet of prayer here at our home. When I go in there, I go in because it's my time to sit with Jesus. It's talking with God. That's what it is. And so that's how this really, you know, developed in my life. And And so it became a book, and the original book was The Hour That Changes the World. And God's blessed us with about 2.5 million copies of those. I know it's had about 50 printings all over the world. But then the publisher contacted me and said, you know, Dick, there's a whole new generation, a younger generation. And this particular brother, we call an acquisition editor with a publisher. In other words, they're always looking for new manuscripts. And he said to me, well, I came from another publisher to become the acquisitions editor here. And when I heard that they had the title, The Hour That Changes the World, he said, immediately he went to the head and he said, you know, we need to redo his book. And the reason is, he said, I taught our children at the dinner table how to pray using your book. And he said, it so impacted my children that he said, when I realized we need to release this, and it's kind of a nice little gift edition of what they've done. And I'm really happy with it, the way they put it together. Because in my heart, I was saying the same thing. I said, Lord, you know, there's so many millennials, we call them, leaving the church, and they grew up in the church, and if they had developed a prayer life, I don't believe that would have happened at all. And so there's probably a lot of older folk out there too that still say, you know, I could strengthen my prayer life, and so you know, it's been a joy to see this come out this year, and we're just excited to see people recognize they know. And in the early part of the book, we say it doesn't even have to be an hour, but just try these things.
Yes.
And see if it doesn't draw you into the presence of Jesus, because the real school of prayer, by the way, is not in a book, and it's not in a seminar. It's at the feet of Jesus. And our goal is to try and get them to the feet of Jesus, you know, and realize that, hey, this is not that hard. And then the joy just comes. In fact, even as I'm sharing this with you, I tell you, I'm looking forward to a good prayer time yet today.
Good for
I've
you.
Already had one.
You're ready for part two.
I was with our staff. But it's just, I think about that daily. I absolutely think about it daily. I've said one thing that I probably should say here, and that's this. I know I lead a ministry that's an evangelism ministry. It's taking the gospel to people that have never heard. And I thank God for having this opportunity. But my calling is that of an intercessor. And I'm closest to the heart of God and the will of God for my life when I'm in prayer, whether it's with others and alone. That to me is where I feel I'm at my personal calling. Because right now I'm praying.
Amen. Well, brother, we are at the end of our allotted time. You've just been amazing. I'd like to end the show with you giving us a couple of the practical tools you teach in your book. If you could just share a couple of those as quickly as you can. But I want people to get some takeaways on what tools you recommend to them.
Well, you know, when it comes... Well, first of all, I should mention, if they contact our website, we have a World Prayer Map for Adults.
Yep, it's good. It's a really good website. I was on it earlier.
It's just everyhome.org, and then /prayer would take them right to that. Every home is one word.
Right.
But to just give you an example of the 12 steps, I start with praise. And the reason I start with praise is because, a dear, dear brother I met years ago, he's in heaven now, Paul Bilheimer, wrote a great book, Destined for the Throne, and he made the statement, praise is so powerful because it decentralizes self. It turns our attention to God. And so I recommend beginning these 12 steps with a time of praise, and then a time of silent waiting, just to be quiet. And Psalm 4610, it's familiar probably to many. It's in the old English translations, it's "Be still and know that I am God." And but like the Message Bible, Eugene Peterson has this great paraphrase: step out of the traffic, take a long, loving look at me, your high God, above politics, above everything. I love that. Step out of the traffic. We're all busy. And just to be quiet, and I share steps of how to do that actually in the book. And then a time of confession. It may not take 5 minutes, or some people say, well, it's going to take a lot longer than that because of what I've been going through. But of just reviewing, you know, where the scripture talks about, I will confess with my mouth, and I will, you know, agree with the Lord. That's what the word confession actually means, is in both Hebrew and Greek, is to agree with God. And when he corrects us and he says, you know, what that attitude you had was not pleasing to me, and you say, oh God, I don't want that to happen. And I'm kind of just touching on a few of these. Then the scripture praying. There isn't anything more powerful than like starting in the Psalms. And I encourage people, just start just reading a psalm or two. And when you see something that you want or desire, turn it into a prayer. And in the margin of your Bible, write the date there. Put a bookmark in. The next day, start there again and say, oh, yeah, I remember I prayed that yesterday. And then you might read another chapter or two. And you just write it, you know, oh, I want that too. And then, of course, I talk about things like watching and prayer, which is asking the Holy Spirit to reveal to you things you should pray for. It's like making your own list each time you pray. Oh, yeah, Lord, I remember the pastor saying this last Sunday, or, oh, I remember what was happening in Washington, D.C., and so you're alert to pray. And then, of course, that's step six, follows that immediately, which is intercession, which is then you pray for these things. And that's when I pray for the nations of the world. And so anyway, those are just a few.
Well, those are good. They're going to make a difference, brother. And we can find them all on your website. Give us the website again, sir.
Well, the website is everyhome, all one word, .org/prayer. And of course, it's also available on Amazon. So,
well, I also like the prayer maps too. That's something I want to recommend to everyone you take a look at. They're different. It's a really good idea. Well, brother,
Go ahead. I know we're out of time. So,
well, give us a quick, because I want to end on that, and then we'll call it a day.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I was just going to say about the prayer map is good to use because it's a 31-day calendar, so it's just praying for a number of nations each day, and their heads of state are listed there. And thus, in a month, with just 10 or 15 minutes a day, you would go to the entire nation, the entire world.
That's it. That's what's really exciting and why I wanted you to share it. So, Dr. Eastman, it's been an honor to have you on the show. You're a man of wisdom. Prayer life is challenging, inspiring, and something to set a goal for. And I just so really appreciate you taking time out of your day to join us.
Well, thank you. It's been my pleasure for sure.
My guest has been Dr. Dick Eastman. The name of the book is Talking with God. You can find it everywhere Christian books are sold and on his website as well. It's a practical plan for personal prayer. You've been listening to the Green Lines podcast. I'm Steve Green on the Charisma Podcast Network. On behalf of my producer, Adley, we will remind you at the end of every show, Jesus came that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. And may I suggest to you that abundant living begins with a practical plan for personal prayer. God bless you all.